1 Timothy chapter 3. We are in the book of 1 Timothy in this series, and it's all about truth. It says, these things write that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. That's a great statement. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? Truth. We've started every one of these series with a reading, a responsive reading for you, and Frankie's going to come up and do that reading. He's going to read the first verse, all of you together on the second verse. But these verses have the pillar and ground of truth. And 1 Timothy puts some great benedictions and some great conclusive statements about God and theology, and they're all right here. Because without our knowledge of God and our understanding of God and the clarity, how great He is, how close He is, how near, dear He is, you cannot grasp what He can do for you, and to surrender to Him. And that's so, so important there. The men are passing out our papers for this morning's sermon. I printed them up the last couple weeks. I just find it easier for me to flow through them, and I mix them up a little bit, as I am mixed up most of the time, and it's kind of fun there. Frankie, come and read this for us, and let's read it with him.
I'll read the verses in red if you would read the ones in purple. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Unto Timothy, my own son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
These things write, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is in the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Now unto the immortal, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all.
And without question,
great is the mystery of godliness.
God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen in angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory.
Which in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Who only hath immortality, dwelling in light,
which no man can approach unto,
whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
That's the truth. That's the Bible truth. That's the gospel truth. That's the truth that we stand by. Last week we were on men and truth. Men and truth. Men were to set the pace, be the leaders, be the lovers, the men of truth. Very important. Children, second grade and down, may be dismissed at this time to children's church, okay? Children, second grade and down. With the men, I just wanted to repeat one of them here. Men are to be the example. And we are to realize, it says, so the believers, set the believer an example. And it says, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Men, we're to be the example, right? We're set the pace. We're to be the leader and the lover. And that is very, very important. Secondly, I just wanted to reemphasize, man is the leader of the home. Man is the manager of the home. It says he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own houses. What? Well, that we be the leaders, that we be the lovers, that we be the examples, that we set the pace, that we hold godliness. Men, so important. The ladies are told to follow us. We are to be following God. Is that right? And that's very important. If we will follow God, they will follow us. Now let's go to the ladies, the leading ladies. A lot in the Bible here on the leading ladies. And I have a paper here that you all have on ladies doing church God's way. This is just how to live. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5, we're going to begin here. She has devoted herself to every good work. This lady is walking with God. She knows herself to be saved. It says she has set her hope in God. First, you have to be saved. Is that right? First, you have to be a Christian. First, you have to be a biblical follower of Jesus Christ. And I trust you are that this morning. If you are not sure of that, make sure of that this morning, because that is the key. It says her first statement here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5, it says, she has set her hope in God. And I just wanted to state that that is so important, that you be saved, that you know that Jesus is alive in your life, that He's forgiven your sins, that He lives with you and around you and through you and to you and for you. And it's wonderful to be a child of Jesus. And am I saved by the blood of the crucified one? Secondly, it says, and continues in supplications and prayer night and day. Men were to be the leaders in prayer. Ladies, you are to be prayers also. Without prayer, we are in trouble. But with prayer, we have the power of God. Don't ever forget that. The only thing I could do was pray. I hear people say that. No, it's the best thing. God, help me. And it's neat how He does. The more you pray, the more you're going to see Him work. The less you pray, the less you're going to see Him work. And prayer must be a big deal. Verse 10, it says, and having a reputation for good works. I've written a lot of little phrases here. She must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has done. A reputation. Was the lady in Proverbs 31 have a good reputation? Yes, she did. And that is so, so important that we realize that, wow. Her children will rise up and call her what? Blessed. And that is so important, that her reputation, that we have that. Who you are. People have reputations. What's your mother like? Do you know there are ladies out there that aren't good mothers, that didn't set a pace? And you must. And if you didn't have one, you can change it all around. And we had a lady that we bought the property here many years from, just over here where our parking lot is, that her mother shipped her off all of her young years. And she didn't even know who she was most of the time. When her mother got in the nursing home, do you think that girl went to see her mother? No. Praise God for mothers. Amen? And if you had a good one, you need to call them up again and send them flowers again. No amens? It's so important. You need to do that. Let me state this. In all of my reference to mothers, some of us know to realize the greatest mother we have is the mother of our own children. Sometimes we forget that, of our own children. We think about my mom, but my children's moms, my wife, is so important. And that is very big deal. And it says, the next phrase, it says, and has devoted herself to every good work. This is what this says, has devoted herself. She's devoted to doing right, to doing that which is good, to doing that which is godly and holy. Then it gives some list here. She has shown hospitality, being kind to strangers and serving others humbly. She cared for the afflicted. She helped those who are hurting and discouraged. Not an idler, not a slacker, a freeloader, a lazy bones. Do we have some of those? That is something that is unacceptable. Men or women, is that right? Teenagers, don't let yourself get into a rut there of, well, I'm just going to do nothing. No, not a slacker. I like that word. Not a freeloader. Not a lazy bones. I like that word better. And that is something. Not gossips or busybodies saying what they should not. Not meddling in other people's business. Nosy, snooping, criticizing, complaining, condemning. Now, preacher, you could go to another subject. That's unacceptable. Do we have enough of it going on today? We do. Make sure it's not you. Make sure it's out there. Make sure it's out there that you realize that, wow, it's so in place. In the next one it says, their wives, 1 Timothy 3:11, their wives likewise must be dignified. That just means worthy of respect. That they have a reputation. That they are known for their goodness, godliness. And then it says, sober-minded, self-controlled, serious, thoughtful, considerate, understanding, faithful in all things, thoroughly trustworthy, dependable, responsible, reliable, consistent. Amen? Ladies, that's the description of a godly lady. Our daughter is a school teacher. And she was trying to get her kids to describe their mother this week. And she said, write down here about your mother. Describe three words that describes your mother, what she does all the time. This is terrible. The three words were, well, she's on her telephone, she's watching TV, or she's sleeping. So one of them says, what does your mother say to you? And they wrote curse words. And we're sitting there going, wow. My daughter was just overwhelmed. If mom doesn't make children her priority, the children will not make mom her their priority. And it's happening today. I was amazed in the Soviet Union, in Ukraine, where the families are falling apart there too. And we have a problem. We have a problem. Now, it's not necessarily all of ours, but we're in the midst of it. And our strength of having strong homes, when our whole culture around us isn't strong homes, when kids don't obey their parents, when you go to the grocery store and it's just embarrassing to be around children. Embarrassing. And you want yours to be orderly and obedient and submissive, and they aren't that sometimes, but most time they are. And that's what we want, our whole culture. We all seem to set a norm of our culture for our family, and it's falling apart, and we must restore our family. We must. Dads, you got to do your part. Moms, you are so valuable. We have a day that needs to be reinstated, that's strong. I'm going to hit that in again at the end of my message. Because today we have the home is without dads. Is that right? And now we're having homes without moms. And I want you to know, if you are a wife and you can have children, your highest calling on this earth is motherhood, rearing godly kids. Now, we can't do it all the time. The world is against us. Friends tear our kids up. Our system tears our kids up. The culture tears our kids up. Music's tearing our kids up. Television's tearing our kids up. Movies are tearing, you know. But as for this church and our homes, as for me and my house, what? Very important. At the bottom. I'm going to come back to that at the end. At the bottom, at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, it says, women should be modest. Catch this. Put this one up. Women should adorn themselves in respectful apparel with modesty and self-control. I'm not going to spend long on this. I've just got it stated down here. I've tried to put it in short terms. Not wearing sensual or luring clothes or fashion, like immodest skirts, shirts, shorts, and swimwear. Can I get any plainer? I worked hard on that one. Okay. And dads and moms, that's our job to make certain our children and our teenagers go in those directions. We're failing there miserably in a lot of areas. Is that true? You know, no, we must ask ourselves, is this modest, what our boys have, what our girls have? Is this modest? Teenagers, if you would know everything that's going on in the evil minds of our culture, you would want this. Because what's going on is not good. And we need to have modesty in our skirts, our shirts, our shorts, our swimwear. And that's very, very important that we catch that. Modesty. Modesty. And it says, not with braided hair or gold or apparel or costly array. Any braided hair this morning? Dan's got braided hair. Okay. Now, I paraphrased it here. I think it's paraphrased. I think it's from the New Living. It says, not drawing attention to themselves. Catch that. We're to point people to Jesus. By the way they fix their hair or by wearing expensive jewelry or clothing. You're to be godly. Godly. On the backside. On the backside, gives a whole different perspective here. It says, but with what is proper for women professing godliness with good works, making themselves attractive by the good and godly things they do and say. All of Proverbs. You've got to read Proverbs 31. That is the Mother's Day text. So go home and read it there. And go out and plant a vineyard and a garden and all that, and potatoes, and raise some cows and all that, and light your lantern and all that. It's all in there. Mothers are indispensable. And these are godly. We need to understand, we need to be devoted to what's good. Secondly, we need to be modest. And we have a day where modesty is not talked about. It. Dads, you need to talk about the modesty of your girls. Moms, you need to talk about the modesty of your boys. There needs to be some talk. Well, I just don't know what to say. Well, saying something's better than nothing. Now, you don't need to get mean and wow, but let's talk. I remember one of our parents isn't with us anymore. He said, I had to battle the issue of what swimwear my daughter was wearing this summer. And it our world is against it. But I encourage you to stand and make issues of modesty. Is it modest? Just ask them, is it modest? Is it modest? And let's talk about it. I think families, we need to talk about that more in our culture, because immodesty is just rising on every point. Then 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, it says, marry, bear children, manage, take care of their household. And ladies are to marry. And if God calls you to singleness, that's a great calling, huh? Great calling. If God calls you to marry. I got a little parenthesis here in the green right under it says, be a faithful, supportive wife that respectfully shares her God-given wisdom, insights, intuitions, knowledge, and intelligence. Can I get any more in there if you want to help me? Women, you are valuable. In the Christian culture, more so than in any of the cultures of the Orient and the cultures of the Middle East, women are put down. And women are very valuable. Don't say that you're not. And men have a place. Men are to be the leaders. Men are to be the teachers. Women are to deal with children. And women are to deal with life and help and support the family and to make their husband a great man. My wife has made me a great man. My wife has pushed me in areas where I needed to be pushed. Some of you men need to say what? Amen. Amen. For old me. And it is so important that they have something to give of their wisdom and insights and intuitions and knowledge and intelligence with their husband. Catch this last phrase. As a team under his godly, selfless leadership. Is that good? That's not being said today enough. Either it's out of kilter the one way where women are taking over everything, or it's out of kilter the other way where men just take advantage of women. There's a happy medium. Is that right? And it's together. It's a team. And also, you're on the same team. You're playing tennis and you're playing doubles and not singles. You ever play tennis? If you're on the same team, there's two of you on the same team, instead of playing singles, where you're playing against one another. Most marriages are playing singles. Is that right? Not doubles. Not we're on the same team. You know, I can hit the ones that are close up. You can hit the ones that are far back. So I'm going to play up and you're going to play back. Huh? We're on the same team. That is so, so important. Marriage, so important. And then, fourthly, here's verse 10. It says, she has brought up children. Obedient, respectful, godly children. And that is so, so important that she has done that and has children and godly children. And it says, godly women, in the blue there, will best find their true fulfillment and identity in motherhood. That is not being taught today. You can't have it all. And motherhood is a high calling, and we're missing it today. Dad's doing their part at home with the children. Mom doing her part at home with the children. And it must be done. Put the next slide up. This is something else. This is from C.S. Lewis. It says, children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. Now read that a couple times. Read that. That is very good. It's in your bulletin. And that is very, very important that we see that. We're having a parenting seminar coming up here. We're having a parenting seminar. Ron Lee is conducting a parenting seminar to lead us, have a time of training with our children and obedience. And if you have children 0 to 5, you will be blessed by this seminar. It's only 3 Wednesday nights, and we would love for you to be there. If you don't have any children, if you're 15 and thinking about getting married someday, no, I'm just kidding you. But if you are married and you don't have children yet, this is excellent. If you have children 0 to 5, this is excellent. This is the greatest need of our day. We were in a home one time trying to lead them to Christ, and the child was so bad we couldn't even meet with them. I had to wait till the child went to bed, and then I'd whip into the home about 9 o'clock and have a Bible study with them, because before that time the child was so unruly I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. That ought not to be. And if I went there and I hadn't got the child in bed, I was in trouble. We must. This first 5 years is crucial. And this is so important. Please sign up for that. And that will bless you very much. Next is motherhood. Motherhood is so important. Look at the rest of it here. Motherhood is the highest calling for most women, unless he calls them to be single, fully serving God with singleness of purpose. Got to read Romans or 1 Corinthians 7 verse 34. By training your children to know, love, fear, obey, serve, worship worship and enjoy Jesus and to manage a household that is intentional, catch that word, and committed to producing godly children. You can't make it happen, but you can sure set the pattern in gear. Huh? That is so important that we have that. Motherhood needs to be lifted to the highest. We husbands need to know that motherhood is so, so important. I got a statement down here in Titus chapter 2. Let's go to the box right down in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. That's a nice word. Not slanders, not slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. That's why we have a church. That's why we have a church that majors on four generations. That right there. That is the reason I don't believe a church should just have older people in it. I don't think a church should just have 20s and 30s in it. I don't think a church should have 40s and 50s in it. I don't think a church should have just teenagers. The Bible says that the older is to teach the younger. Is that what it says? So it has to have church together. We have too many churches today that are just zeroing in on a small group. You need to have all four generations, and I love it because I need young people around me. Okay? Even though they can outrun me, I like to run them. See if I can run with them. Or I grab them and don't let them run too fast, you know. It is so important. The younger keeps us young. Is that right? And the older gives wisdom and stability. And you need both. And that's important. The older women are to teach the younger women. Catch here. What is good? And then verse 4. Everybody look at it. So train the young women. Here it is. They have to be trained today. Today, we don't realize it needs to be trained. To love their husbands. Do you have to be taught how to love your husband? You do. You do. He's pretty unlovely sometimes. No amens? Okay. To love their children, catch this little phrase right here, making their family godly is their highest priority. That must be. What is your highest priority? Well, I'm to know God, okay? And then I'm to make Him known, and I'm a mother, so in my children. And so when you get old, your children will rise up and what? And call you blessed. So important there. Verse 5, it says, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home. Let me make this statement. Being a homemaker is real work. Being a homemaker is real work, a fulfilling full-time job. If you do not think that being a mother is a full-time job, men trade with her for a week. Huh? And we need to praise that. I've heard men say, well, you don't add money to the place. No. It is important that we realize being a homemaker is real work, a full-time fulfilling job. And then it says, kind, submissive to their own husbands. Catch this next phrase. The word submissive is a word that, oh, preacher, don't talk about that. You know, you get married, what is it says? I will love, honor, and obey. That's what God says. And let me tell you, men, you need to live a life of love and compassion and sensitivity so they will want to follow you. And this thing of just, I'm the leader, follow, is garbage. And to submit to their own husband. Catch what I got written here. Not defiant or competitive. There's too much of that today. But humbly supporting, I worked hard on this phrase here, but humbly supporting, encouraging, following, making helpful suggestions, and respecting her husband's effort to display godly, selfless leadership. Now read that phrase. I put a lot in that one. That you're a team. You're together. It's not, you know, I'm the king and you're the slave. That's wrong. That's wrong. And to be submissive there, and to be not defiant or competitive, but humbly supporting, encouraging, following, making helpful suggestions, and respecting her husband's effort to display godly, selfless leadership. Make your man, your husband, a godly man. You can help him. Be respectful. I've just learned what respect means. Respect is really neat. My wife has been respectful, and I use this one, you know, I haven't taken the trash out for 10 days. She can't smell. That's a joke. She could say, Mike, you're just a trashy man. It's sloppy and smelly, and you haven't taken out the trash. You're a dirty dog. Do I deserve that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Of course, you're leaving. Okay. Or she can say, Mike, what is that smell? Is it from the outside? That's respect. That's it. And I, as a smart man, realizes she's telling me to empty the trash. But she did it respectfully. That's what's missing in most of our homes today. Respect for dad, for the husband to the wife, for the wife to the husband, for the parents to the children, for the children to the parents. Respect. Just blah, 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 say anything. Yeah, mean, boom, blast. No. Take time, respect. If parents would respect their teenagers, they'll get farther. That's not letting them do wrong. It's how you do it. You're still telling them, empty the trash, you dog. But you do it respectfully. I want you to think about that. That hit me about a year and a half ago, exactly what that meant. Because we don't have enough. All we do is preach at each other, complain to each other, pick at each other. And it goes from teen to parent to teen, to husband and wife. Amen? Say amen with me. It's terrible. And if we could be helpful in that area, it would be a blessing. It would be a blessing because it's the highest. If we don't do all of this, that last phrase at the bottom of the box, it says that the word of God may not be reviled. That people won't trust the Bible because husband and wife aren't treating one another. The older women aren't teaching the younger women. The children are out of control. They're not submissive. It's a mess. When it's a mess like it is today, it's hard to see that. When an outside world will see that you have your kids that are respectful and obedient, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. And respect must happen. And it goes both ways. From top to bottom too. Both ways. Respect. I think that's a big one. Last thing I have to say is this. Put up the last one. It says, raising children to love and follow Jesus is fulfilling God's highest callings upon your life. Is that right? It's Mother's Day. Now we need to raise motherhood, and that needs to be the highest calling. And ladies and girls, and to understand that, dads, you need to praise that. Brothers, you need to praise that. Grandpas need to praise it. Grandmas need to praise it. Motherhood, the attempt to raise godly children by being godly yourself. Now you can't make it all perfect because none of us are perfect. But with God's help and with obeying the truth, huh? We can do it.